listening to SCR, Stratford Community Radio.
Well, can you believe I've just played that on the radio? This is Jackie King-Turner, and you're listening to This Much I Know, Stratford Community Radio. Thank you to Adrian for a great show. We've learnt an awful lot about the Town Trust, to whom we are very grateful, because I do believe that they actually support us considerably. And may I just say that Sam was tapping his feet along to that track, weren't
Thanks.
You, Sam?
Thanks for that.
Yes, indeed. I feel that the listeners need to know that, actually. That's most important. Anyway, as I'm sure you already know, This Much I Know is not how much I know, but it's the wisdom of my guests. And we're continuing the rural theme that we had last week. So today I'm really delighted to welcome Bob Armstrong of the Shipston Wool Fair, which is due to take place on Bank Holiday Monday, the 31st of May, to the show. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning and thank you for being here.
Well, I have to get something out of the way. And I was talking to my children this morning about my guest and they said, oh, who's coming on? What's his name? And I said, oh, it's Bob Armstrong. And when I said it was the Wool Fair, they went, oh, Bob.
Very appropriate.
So I felt that I had to say that now because otherwise every time I looked at you, I'd giggle. So now I've said it and I probably will still giggle. And I do apologise if I go, Bob,
no
when
problem.
I shouldn't do. But anyway, it's also very timely you should be here today because there's been loads of coverage of lambing on the telly, hasn't there?
There has indeed.
It even made Radio 1, which was quite incredible. And also at 2 o'clock, Val Rainbow, presenter at SCR and also director of Miramar, the belly dancing troupe that I'm in, is going to be coming into the show with some fellow troupe members of Miramar to talk about our spectacular on the 28th of March at the Civic Hall. Sam is not supporting my technical incompetence at all this morning. He's dropping me in it every time I forget something, which I think is probably quite good for me, actually. So I'm sure he'll stand in if something goes horrendously wrong. But if you have any questions, then send them in to info@myscr.co.uk.
MyScR.co.uk.
This is Jackie King-Turner and you're listening to your radio show, Stratford Community Radio. And I'm with Bob Armstrong of Shipston Wool Fair. We're finally going to get to talk about how you got involved. And you are the Livestock and Agricultural Consultant to the Wool Fair, which is a great, we like good job titles on this show. How did you become that? How did you get involved?
Well, good afternoon, Jackie, and thank you for the opportunity of being on the programme. I have to say I did enjoy your show on the sheep, but that would be near to heart for me, actually. Yes, it is a rather expansive title. It was really at the wish of the person who really was the inspiration for the Wool Fair, and that was the late Angela Noyce. Angela Noyce was the mayor-elect for Shipston last year, and it was her idea that really, as a spring fair, Shipston should connect with its past. And what better way to do that as a sheep town, Shipston, than to have a wool fair? So the inspiration for the whole event was really Angela's. And being in sort of close proximity to Angela when she was thinking this through, and she was thinking about, well, I wonder how we should do it and what sort of activities we should have. With my farming background, I suggested that maybe we should have some live sheep. She thought that was a great idea. Would I do it? And I was delighted to do it.
That's one of those things, isn't it? When you volunteer a good idea, then people say, OK, over to you then.
Oh, indeed so. And Angela could be very persuasive, and hence the success of the fair, actually. So that's how I came into it from the start.
And you're very involved in Shipston generally, aren't you? You've got a finger in a lot of pies in the area. Tell us more about that.
Well, not more than a lot of people, but apart from the Wool Fair, which I'm very much involved in, there are other activities like Shipston Vision. I'm very much involved in the Rotary Club in Shipston-on-Stour, which is now celebrating this year its 30th anniversary. And I suppose that brings me in very close contact with a lot of people in Shipston because we organise the Victorian evening every year. We've done it for the last 12 years, which has been a great success. We also have a Tree of Life there. And it brings you into very close proximity to people, both in terms of business in Shipston and the people who live in Shipston.
So is that a Christmassy thing? Because
yes,
there's
it
one
is.
In Kyneton that does a similar thing.
It is indeed, yeah. It's normally the first week in December. And there we have the whole of the High Street closed and Market Square closed. We have stalls, we have a celebrity guest normally, or we have other people who are visitors to the town. We have, as I say, the Tree of Life, which is in remembrance of those who are no longer with us at Christmas time. And it's a great sort of celebration of Shipston as a local and thriving community. It allows also the retailers, most of whom stay open and are very supportive of the event, to get the opportunity with increasing numbers of people coming into the town to show you just what a good town it is to do your shopping in.
And if we go back to the wool fair for a moment, if you're resurrecting ancient traditions, presumably in centuries past, the wool fair would have been absolutely pivotal to the local community, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Well, of course, wool was absolutely pivotal to the economy, not just of the Cotswolds, but of course of the Britain at one point. So in the Middle Ages, wool was all, actually. So it has a very strong link to Shipston's past. Also, it would be a very major gathering for people in the local community and much further afield, because sheep at all stages have been moved over great distances, and consequently this would be a great gathering. Shipston also has a sheep dip, which I think is likely to be re-looked at and hopefully restored to some extent, which again is a very direct link to the past.
In fact, we've had a question from a listener. What exactly is a wool fair, and where does it get its name from?
Right. Well, it is quite literally where wool would have been traded. Also, sheep would have been traded as well at the same time. And therefore, in order to do that, there would be a gathering of people with clearly bringing sheep in. And sheep may have been sheared there and then. More likely they would have been sheared before this event, but the sheep themselves would have been sold. But it was really an opportunity for particularly farmers, but also for tradespeople who were actually purchasers of wool. And ultimately there would be more than a passing interest in those who processed wool, because a lot of wool would be processed much nearer to site rather than what happens now, of course, where the wool is shipped elsewhere and then made into garments, carpets and other things. So it was a very big commercial gathering of its time. And really what we're trying to do is emulate on a much smaller scale some of the spirit of that. We bring in local people who are entertainers, dancers and things that you would anticipate would be associated with a gathering of that nature. We also have recipes that they all tell us put on. Lamb is yes, very well featured indeed. It does. Local brewery, the Cotswold Brewery, brought on local beers. So the whole town enters into the spirit of this is very much a sheep orientated activity.
Well, I went on a school trip with my oldest daughter a while back to Mary Arden's farm, I think it is, and they had one breed of sheep that was a contemporary breed and one that was an ancient breed,
right.
And they were so different.
Indeed.
You know, they kept the older sheep for much longer, didn't they?
They did,
and then
indeed.
Because they needed the wool off them. Whereas now, I understand that, without getting all political about it, which clearly isn't my role, you know, the fleeces are worth next to nothing, because we're all wearing synthetic fleeces and nobody's wearing wool clothes or buying wool blankets, because we all have duvets and things like that. So the premium at the moment for a contemporary sheep is on the meat and less on the fleece, isn't it?
That's
whereas it was
correct.
The other way around.
Yes, it is, and sadly so. You may have seen there's been an initiative actually from the Prince of Wales in the last month, which is to promote British wool products. And in that context, I mean, what we're now doing has an immediate relevancy. But you're quite right. And sadly, a fleece is not worth really any great amount of money. It costs money, of course, to take it off the sheep, which you have to do. But thereafter, it is relatively low worth, which is a great pity. And that is something which clearly the British Wool Marketing Board and others are working hard to address. Also, other ways of using wool. I mean, one of the areas that's being looked at is using it as insulation. And that may be another opportunity of using wool in a quite novel manner.
Well, it insulates sheep, doesn't it?
Oh, it certainly insulates sheep extremely well, actually. Yeah, you mentioned before, Jackie, about sheep and rare breeds. One of the features of our wool fair, which I set up last year as far as the sheep were concerned, is to attract as many rare breeds of sheep as we can get. And this is most encouraging, actually, because we've had a very good response from the Rare Breeds Survival Trust. And I think you had Mrs. Deborah Williams on.
Oh, definitely, yes. Well, she's very into that, isn't she?
She is indeed, yeah, and she has some very good sheep. She is going to actually come this year with some Portland sheep and Welsh black sheep, and she will be bringing her sheep to the wool fair. But there will be others as well. We are probably Herdwicks. There's clearly got to be a Cotswold. The Cotswold is the indigenous breed. And we will have also some Leicester Longwools, which are quite splendid, very large sheep.
And the ones that you've got on the website... Which we should probably tell people about, shouldn't they?
Yes.
Have I got this right? www.shipstonwoolfair.org.uk.
.org, that's it.
Okay.
That's it.
Oh, well, there are some amazing pictures, which I printed out, and of course they haven't appeared on what I've printed out. Oh, no, there's one here, but that just looks like a normal sheep, which is working really well on radio, because you can't see. You're just going to have to go to the website, folks. You can still carry on listening to the show.
You can't believe there's a picture of a sheep being
there
shown.
There is, but there's one that kind of looks slightly Rastafarian. The one with the kind of dreadlocks.
Yes.
Well,
That is the Cotswold, actually.
Oh, is it?
Yes, and the Cotswold, actually, is indigenous breed. And the Cotswold was actually the tub, the ram, that's the male, if anyone's not sure. I'm, as you gather, not from this part of the world. I come from North Yorkshire, which is where we used to farm. So if anybody's having difficulty understanding me, I am actually speaking English, but with an accent. But the Cotswold is the indigenous breed of sheep. And the Cotswold lion is the male sheep, the ram, which has a very considerable amount of wool around its head, which makes it look like a mane. And that's the sheep that you're looking at there. And if your listeners are interested, there is actually a sheep sculpture which has just been put up in Shipston on the gyratory as you go through Shipston on the way out of Shipston, where you will see this is a female sheep, a ewe, but it is actually on a pedestal, and that is a Cotswold breed of sheep.
Excellent. And presumably, given the timing, they'll be having young children. They always ask me, will there be sweet lambs there?
There will be indeed. That's our indeed our intention. And there were lambs last year. I'm being assured by one of the breeders who's providing us with sheep that there will again be lambs, which were a great attraction. There will also be one of the Leicester Longwools, who was really, I suppose, a celebrity sheep. And if you like sheep, then there are really celebrity sheep. They're all, I think, most interesting animals. But this Leicester Longwool ram actually weighed about 18 stone and was a very considerable sheep by any standards. And he, alongside all his other sheep, were great crowd pullers.
That's fast.
Oh,
that's two people.
It's a big sheep. A big sheep. It was a quite splendid, splendid animal. And it'll be here again this year, or it's one of its brothers will be here. And we do a lot of shearing, but I can tell you about the shearing if you're interested as well, because that is a great crowd puller.
This is Stratford Community Radio.
This is Jackie King-Turner, and I'm talking to Bob Armstrong of the Shipston Woolfair, or I have to get this in again, Bob Armstrong, since we're talking about sheep. And tell us more about what people can expect when they come to the Woolfair. We were talking about shearing.
Indeed, yes.
Fascinating to watch.
It is, yes. I mean, it's interesting, because, of course, understandably, a lot of people are not aware that you do have to shear sheep, and shearing sheep is a remarkably skillful task, and one that is fascinating to watch. And watching good shearers shear is a great skill. Well, what we did last year, and we'll be repeating it again this year, we will have two shearers who will be demonstrating regularly throughout the whole of the day. The day, incidentally, is from 10 o'clock in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. And they will be shearing sheep. Primarily, they will be commercial sheep, because some of the rare breeds don't need shearing at this time. And the two shearers, we have actually one of the very few lady shearers, and I think the only lady shearer in Warwickshire, Alice Hutchins, who comes from Alderminster. So again, what we're trying to do is get as many local people involved as possible. And we'll also have Alan Scorer from Morton Morrill, and he'll be coming again as well. And both shearers will demonstrate using different kinds of equipment, from handheld shears, which is mighty hard work, to electric shears, which modern shearing would be shearers would be using. And they'll be giving a commentary of what the shearing is all about. And this year we'll have a competition, actually, as to what people think it'll take as a time to shear a sheep. So that'll add a further interest. So we'll have that, and that will be part of the show exhibition. And the whole of Market Square in Shipston will be devoted to sheep, live sheep, that is, with the rare breeds plus the sheep shearers.
I mean, I've seen people shearing sheep on a couple of occasions. It is fiercely difficult, isn't it? Because, you know, there's your own welfare, because you have to be very strong to just keep shearing, you know, flocks worth. And then there's the welfare of the sheep to make sure you don't cut the wrong bit.
Absolutely, absolutely. And a sheep clearly does not enjoy the process of being handled to be sheared. It wouldn't be its first choice, is to be sort of made captive. So it is a very physically demanding task. It's a great skill also to get the sheep in the right place. And clearly, as the sheep, given any opportunity, would try and wriggle free, then it would be all too easy to actually jab the sheep with the shears if you weren't really on top of the job. So shearing is a great skill, and it's amazing to see good shearers operating, as you will see in Shipston.
And that's Bank Holiday Monday, the second bank holiday.
It's the late one, it's the Monday, the 31st of May.
And you can't beat seeing that for real. It's all very well watching it on the telly, but if you've got it on your doorstep, then go down and support the event.
Absolutely, you could not get near the sheep pens, and throughout the shearing exhibition, it was quite remarkable.
One of the things that occurred to me is it more of a tourist attraction, or is it something that's very much supported by the local people?
No, it's very much supported by the local people. And if I may just say here, Jackie, I mean, I've talked about the sheep because that was my major sort of responsibility. But we will have a number of other attractions. I said before that there will be a number of local entertainers, both with music and singing. There will be a range of stalls which will be selling quality goods of a wide variety, and as many of those as possible, supporting local activities, local people, local producers. So we'll be having that, and we'll also be having a children's area as well, where children will be able to indulge in games, which will have some sort of historic content and some are slightly more modern. And you mentioned before about an electric sheep as a sort of eclectic form of music. We will have an electric sheep, but it won't be singing. It will be actually a sheep, one of these where you have a wire attached to a little battery, and then you trace the wire around, and if you keep the wire away from the sheep, then it doesn't ping, and if it does ping, you then have a little bell that rings. So it's a great fun thing for children.
Those are really difficult to do, aren't they?
And the more you concentrate, the worse they get, actually.
Yes.
But it is a great draw for children. We've already tried this out at another fair, and it was a great success. But you mentioned about the local people, and I can't speak too strongly on this, if I may, Jackie, that the local townspeople, their support, their sponsorship, the local retailers is terrific, and that is a reflection also of the people living in Shipston, because we've made appeals because there will be a special area which is totally devoted through ladies in the town, who the initial group is calling themselves Three Ply, so you can gather that it has a sort of knitting context, but it'll involve the WI and the Mothers Union and a numbers of other people, and it'll be all what happens to a fleece to the point it becomes a garment. So it's a great process. But there'll also be rugs donated, which are going to go to Help for Heroes, which one of the recipients of the proceeds of the World Fair, which I'll mention, if I may, a little later. And there'll be rugs on show. So there's a whole range of things which will interest everybody, both from an educational standpoint, but a fun education standpoint, with people in the town participating, knitting, showing how you knit. It'll be very much, as I know the buzzword is, but it'll be very much intergenerational. Something for everybody.
So will they be showing, this is where, again, having seen this on the school trip I went on, is it carding? The bit where they have two brushes with sharp spikes on, and they draw it over the fleece and it kind of spins it. It's the stage before spinning it.
There is indeed, which is sort of getting it all in order. We're hoping to be able to do that. We're hoping also to be having spinners as well, and also a weaver, which will be also there as well to show these processes. So we're, again, hoping to show this whole process.
That will be fascinating, because I think when you just go and buy clothes from a shop, you don't actually realise the process that's gone through to get them there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so I think it's fascinating because they're so skilled.
Yes, indeed. It's an amazing process, actually, from something that is literally being, as you see before your eyes, taken off a sheep, and it ends up as some very fashionable garment or a form of furnishing at the end of it.
And knitting is very now, people tell me. There are knitting circles in the same way that there are book clubs, apparently.
I have to take your word for that, because I have two left hands and I couldn't knit to save my life. But I'm told that it is, yes, it is very much on the up. And there are some quite remarkable things being knitted, as will be demonstrated by the ladies in Shipston. And of course, as I said before, some of their knitting is all for this very worthy cause of making rugs for army people coming back from Afghanistan, Iraq and other war zones who need that kind of blanket and protection. So it has a very real relevance as well.
Yes, I saw somebody running down a fairly kind of, well, you wouldn't run down the road generally, put it that way. It's not kind of a jogging route sort of thing. And they were looking completely exhausted. And then behind them came a support vehicle, and they were doing one of these monster marathon runs for Help for Heroes.
Right.
An amazing charity.
It is indeed, absolutely. Yeah, well, they'll be one of the recipients. There'll be four in all. There's a Rural Stress Help Network, who will be one of the recipients. Help for Heroes, which we talked about before. DASH, which is a drug action Shipston, which is a very worthy cause, making people aware of the risks of young people taking drugs. And there will be Air Ambulance. So those will be the four charities which will be the recipients of any of the surplus that we make from the Woolfair.
MySCR.co.uk.
Yeah.
And the, oh yeah, is the most important bit of that track, isn't it?
Absolutely. There's always a smile on my face when I get to that bit.
Yeah, because you know you've got to the end, actually. We're giving away all our secrets. Anne was kind of getting into the groove there a bit. I have to say, I know I said this when you came in before, but it freaks me out when I listen to tracks when I'm doing this that I should be dancing to, because I have this kind of complete, I'm doing it now, gosh, goodness me, thumpy heart moment. I can't remember what I should have done there. And it's hearing it out of context is really, really tricky.
I find that if I choreograph a dance to a piece of music, then it kind of spoils me forever in a sense, because then I can't ever listen to it without twitching my seat. I mean, I created a dance to Mercy by Duffy last year, and all the girls, although they love doing it, they said, every time it comes on the radio now, I'm dancing around the kitchen, I can't stop myself. It's like you're possessed, you know.
Absolutely. Oh, yes, we've had an email in saying Jean is loving the show. I'm very glad, Jean. Keep listening. Oh, no, that was actually my husband sent an email in saying he's loving the show. But it says Jean Robinson. That's confused me. Oh, no, she's listening now. My husband is loving the show. And moving swiftly on.
So you should.
Yes, absolutely. I think I was slightly distracted by the lots of hammering. So if you can hear noises off, it's not us dancing. I promise. It's somebody doing some art downstairs. I'm not sure we've plugged the show enough, as we've only got 10 minutes to go. You can get your tickets from the Civic Hall box office. It's Sunday the 28th of March, and we've got some brand new dances, haven't we? There's one that Annie, choreographer extraordinaire, has done for us.
Oh, well, with the assistance of yourself, Jackie, and two other ladies who are doing it with us, it was a kind of joint effort, I think. We kind of decided we'd like to move away from the Oriental theme, and we like the gypsy style, and we also rather like Latin music. And we thought we'd do something really bouncy and modern and poppy. So we're dancing to La Bamba, which is something that you wouldn't normally have thought you could belly dance to, but it's actually a lot of fun.
Yes.
We do a gypsy style of belly dance to it, with a slight flamenco kind of feel to it. And we have some fantastic costumes.
There's always the costumes. My husband calls my belly dance troupe meetings chatting club, actually, and costume club, because he doesn't actually reckon that we do much dancing at all. We just talk about clothes. In fact, we might even manage to get clothes into discussions about Shipston warfare, didn't we? Because wool, clothes, good clothes shops in Shipston. So, we can get clothes into just about any discussion, can't we? But no, the costumes are fabulous, actually.
Yes, and Val really did put us on the spot this year, because we've always really done Val's choreographies previously, but then she kind of passed it over. So everybody who's in the show from Miramar has had an input into some form of choreography. So that's been quite scary, hasn't it?
It's been scary but good.
Yes.
Or I can say it's been scary and it will be good on the day, won't it? And if it isn't good, it'll be very funny. But no, it will be excellent, I can assure you. Lots of like with all things, like with Barb Armstrong, if we don't I had to get that in again. Oh, this morning the children asked who was coming on the show, and I said Bob Armstrong and the Woolfare, and they went, oh, Barb. So
totally appropriate.
So I have to keep saying it, because otherwise I'll dissolve into a fit of giggles, I think, anyway. But meanwhile, back at La Bamba, it will be fabulous.
Oh, it will. We love it.
This is Stratford Community Radio.
Well, I'm still twitching listening to music I normally dance to, but Bob has just raised a very interesting question off air, which I think you should air on air.
Well, a great personal risk. I find it quite awesome, actually, and enlightening, having no previous knowledge of belly dancing. But I'm assuming those men don't have sufficient abdominal dexterity to participate in belly dancing. Is that the case?
No. Over to you, Val.
Well, yes and no, really. There have been different periods in history where women have been banned from belly dancing for a variety of reasons, in which case men have taken over. And so, hence, you have a tradition, particularly in Turkey, of male belly dancers. The difference, mainly, is that men are very strong in the abdominal area.
Can I just say that Val is demonstrating now, which, again, works terribly well on radio.
And also, they can do sort of, they can manipulate those muscles a lot more than women can. Right. I mean, there are some women that can do fantastic things with that area of their body, but men particularly can shine in that area, whereas obviously women can do the graceful, more lyrical moves that are not so suitable for a man. But you do get male belly dancers in Egypt as well, although they tend to be more fully clothed, and it's more about, you know, the, again, about skill with the props and that sort of thing, like stick dancing and that sort of thing.
And we have had male belly dancers at some of your Hafler's end-of-term parties, haven't you?
Yes.
There was one, actually, wasn't there, the Christmas one?
Yes, we occasionally, you know, we occasionally get male gentlemen taking part in classes and then joining troops and things. And there's a there's a small number of male belly dancers who are resident in this country who teach as well.
And we've just had an email in from Sandra, who is, I will admit, a member of Miramar. And she just was saying that she was practising.
Oh, good for Sandra.
well done, Sandra.
We're not. We're just listening. Now, one of the big things about our show is the fact that three troops are actually part of the whole show, basically, which is very unusual, isn't it? It doesn't happen very often to bring other troops together and perform.
That's right.
And we actually perform all together at the end, don't we?
That's right,
which is no mean feat, considering there are going to be, I think, over 30 of us.
Yes, I mean, this doesn't happen very often in the belly dance world. I mean, we all have our hafflers and parties and people come and perform. But to actually get three different groups of dancers together with three separate teachers, and we all come from different areas. I mean, one group, Katesh, comes from Coventry, and the Cairo Cats are from Buckingham, so we're all sort of a little bit of a distance away from each other. So I've had to get together with the other two teachers, and we've had to work on the choreography so that we've divided up the music into sections, and then we have a little bit at the end that we all do together. And that, it really is spectacular, actually, and I'm really proud that the last three or four times that we've done it, everybody's gone away going, wow, you know, because just the sheer volume of people on the stage all moving together, and the colour and the costumes and the glitter, it's all, wah!
And we're going to give you a bit of an insight to that now, aren't we? Because I think maybe the last track is going to be our finale music. So do you want to tell us what that is?
It's called Entrance to the Stars, or Of the Stars, by Paul Dinletter, which is very appropriate, really, considering. And it's going to be in shocking pink and gold.
It is. And this is, it will be a sight for sore eyes, or definitely one for the sunglasses. And I think this will probably be the last track we play. So can I just say a huge thank you to Bob of Shipston Warfare. Thank you for coming in and telling us all about it. And thank you to Val and Annie for popping in to talk belly dancing. We didn't even touch the Bollywood stuff you've been doing, but that'll be maybe another time. And remember to go to the Shipston Warfare on the second May bank holiday, the 31st, between 10 and 4. Website shipstonwarfare.org.uk. And just in case you hadn't noticed, you can go to the Civic Hall and get your tickets for our Belly Dance Spectacular on the 28th of March. And also, remember to look on the Facebook page, this much I know, with some photos. Well, I'll take a photo of you folks before we go, and then I can put that on there. And next week, we'll be welcoming Sally Barnes, who is a dog and horse whisperer, to the show. So if you have an errant pet, then send in your questions either when I'm on air or log them on the This Much I Know Facebook page between now and then. And we're going to play out with our finale show from the Miramar Belly Dance Spectacular. And I'll see you same time, same place next week. And can I just wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day for tomorrow.
You're listening to SCR, Stratford Community Radio, online at myscr.co.uk.